चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथन्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेशगोपिकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्तकाञ्चनगौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी रमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे मद्गवीरपि गोपाल स्वीकुर्यात् कृपया यदि तदैवासां भयः पीत्वा हृष्येयुस्तत्प्रिया जनाः My dear Lord Gopal, please, if you accept my words as your cows, then they may produce enough sweet milk to give pleasure to your devotees. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the end of his 10th canto commentary. First of all, Happy Mother's Day. This morning after Mangal Artik in Los Angeles, Swavas Prabhu made an announcement that let's all chant Hare Krishna for all the mothers. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So you know in the Vedic literatures, in Taittiriya Upanishad in particular, it stated, Matri Devo Bhava, your mother is like a god. Pitra Devo Bhava, your father is like a god. Atithi Devo Bhava, your uninvited guest is like a god. So mothers, we have, of course, seven mothers. In his purport to 7th Canto, Chapter 12, Text Number 8, Srila Prabhupada quotes from Niti Shastra, Atma Mata Guroho Patni Brahmani Rajapatnika Dhenur Dhatri Tatha Prithvi Saptaita Mataraha Smritaha. That means, who are the seven mothers? Your birth mother, Janani, she's called in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And our birth mother is our first guru, and in fact she functions like the, what do we say, Vishwamata, the mother of the universe. Who is the mother of the universe? Who is it? You're all Krishna conscious. Normally people consider that Parvati, yes. Because she's in charge of material things, right? Everything material, that comes from Parvati. So as she maintains the whole cosmic manifestation, lovingly, so our mother on a microcosmic scale, within one little family, she takes care of us. Every one of us represents God in some way, if we're acting according to our proper Swadharma. And this is how we become transparent. So, Mata, Atma Mata, she's functioning like that. She trains us up, whatever we are, it's by her grace. But whatever we are is by our parents' grace, generally. So she's one of the first mothers. And who is the next one? Guru Patni, the Guru's wife. who's generally in the traditional system, children are sent at a very young age. What age? To the Gurukula. Yes, Kaumaram Acharet Pragno Dharman Bhagavatani Ha. And they do so in a very austere ashram. It's not a very comfortable situation. Any primary education teacher knows that with the first day of kindergarten, what is... Yes, exactly. That's the sound. Thank you. So, I remember when I was in kindergarten even, and all the kids were crying. It's a devastating sight. So the mother of the guru has to be very, very loving and warm and nourishing in the same way that one's janani, one's own mother is. It should be like this. It's not so easy to perform your own prescribed duty. We've seen this. You know, daycare doesn't really work so well because that love is missing. So, but this is in the ideal gurukula, this is the teacher's wife performing this function. Who is the next one? Brahmani, the wife of a Brahmin. Because not all Brahmins are gurus, and not all Brahmins are teaching even. Some Brahmins are purohits, and some of them are jyotishas, astrologers, and they perform different ritual functions, pujaris. But their wives are still considered to be among our seven mothers. So that's called Brahmani. She takes on the... functions of the feminine aspect of the Brahmana. Then Rajapatnika, she's the queen. And she's also just somewhere in between the Janani and Durga. Janani on a microcosmic level of the family, Durga on a macrocosmic scale of the whole cosmic manifestation, but within one little place, but pretty big, a kingdom, she also has to perform that function. And she has to make sure that everyone is okay, just as her husband is responsible for everything that goes on in that kingdom. And I think it's fourth canto, Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport, or maybe it was seventh canto, I'm sorry, I don't remember. But he says, people, especially modern administrators and government leaders, they have no idea of the scope of their responsibilities. They just have no clue. I always like to emphasize that we have many words in our books that just don't translate very well into English. What are some of them? Rasa is one. There's no English word for this, because the concept is not there. Dharma is another such word. The people have no idea. Raja dharma. They have no idea of the real scope of their karmic responsibilities, the responsibilities for which they're accountable. Anyway, Rajapatnika, she has to care for all the citizens in just the same way that her husband does, considering them to all to be her prajas. That's why it's a very grand responsibility. So she's considered one of our mothers as well. Dhenu. How need we say more? Everybody knows. Cows. Cows are, every one of us, I think, was raised on cow's milk, almost everyone in human society. And anyone who's spent time with cows, you know, they're so sweet, they're so soft, they're so gentle, they're loving, they give us milk. The bulls are producing agriculture, and the cows are also very loving. They have in many of our ISKCON goshalas, even here in North America, people will pay money to come and undergo cow therapy. Because just spending time with cows is so relaxing and peaceful. People with minds all over the place and so many problems, they become peaceful just by serving cows humbly, just by spending time with cows. I was recently in Chennai, and in Chennai we had some time back a Kirtan Mela. So I was watching in this Kirtan Mela, and there's, and incidentally, about maybe 50% of the participants in that Kirtan Mela, they were under 20 years of age, under 20 years of age. Just like last year's Sadhu Sangha retreat, also I was noting a tremendous number of young people, even the teenage people, a large number of them were participating. But what struck me about that Mela in Chennai is that they're all dancing happily, completely pure happiness. And families, every old ones, young ones, everybody is there. And very, very happy in in completely innocent enjoyment, pure spiritual enjoyment. It was a great contrast, because then later on I went on the main thoroughfare there, ECR Road, and I saw these establishments for drinking and nightlife and non-vegetarian restaurants and people in there trying to enjoy in so many ways, but actually all of them were pretty uptight and they were not really so happy. And then I looked at the bus, and we were at a stop sign, and I looked at the bus next to us, and all these people are grimy and waiting, you know, sweating, and they're just all in anxiety. Motorcycles, people who work in nearby Sholinganallur, the IT hub there, they're all in complete anxiety, competing with their office colleagues and worried about the money and all, so many things. The next morning, when I went to Krompeg, where I was staying, another neighborhood, there are many cows sitting peacefully on the streets. That's one of the neighborhoods in India where they don't drive out the cows. Noida is not one of them. Bangalore is not one of them. Sholinganallur is not one of them. Anywhere you get IT, I'm sorry to say, IT professionals, it seems like the cows just disappear. But in Krompeg, I saw there's some cows sitting on the side of the street in the morning sun, because this was winter in Chennai. Compared to Vrindavan, it's just great, but for them it was a little cool. So they're sitting in the sun, they've got their eyes half closed, they're chewing on their thing, and they're waving their tails, they're happy. And then I was just contrasting all these rascals in Sholinganallur, how anxious they are compared with these happy cows sitting peacefully in the sun in Krompeg, and I thought these cows are happier than these IT engineers. So cows are also our mothers, and they care for us, and to repay them, we heartlessly kill them and eat them. Or we sell them to somebody that we know will do the same. And India leads the world in this right now, for your information. So, Dhenu is another mother. How dear is the Dhenu to Lord Krishna? He names his own planet after the cows. What is Krishna's planet called? What does Goloka mean? Cow world. And Go is a mother. So Dhatri, this is another. Dhatri, what Dhatri means? A caregiver, particularly a nursemaid, somebody who takes care of you when you're a baby. Anybody who changes your diapers, that's Dhatri. And we all know who those persons are. So this is another, considered one of the matas, or the mothers. Famous verse, this is tells us that in the Bhagavatam, third canto, this is what happened to Putana. Even though she came with the worst of motives, trying to kill Krishna, but Krishna turned her into his own Dhatri in the spiritual world. He didn't even give her liberation. He put her right into Golokula Dham. She became a Dhatri. Well, that means that we can also do this, because at least we're not trying to kill Krishna. We're trying to become his devotees to some degree. How much? We have to look in our own hearts and judge, or we have to take shelter of more advanced Vaishnavas and inquire humbly from them. But we all have a chance, if Putana had a chance. Tatha Prithvi, the last one, is the earth. Why earth? What is another name for earth besides Bhumi? Bhumi is Bhumi Devi. What else? Dharati, yes. Why Dharati? Because she bears everything you do to her. She bears it. In other words, she's more tolerant, than, more humble than a blade of grass. What's below the grass? Earth. And whatever you throw on the earth, she bears it. No complaint. That is humble. More tolerant than a tree, etc. This is the injunction. We can become like this. And how can we become like this unless we see these examples? There's a scholar from, Greensboro University there in North Carolina. Arlene Andrews, if I'm not mistaken. So she wrote an article about, she interviewed many Bengali mothers. Srila Prabhupada said that Bengali mothers, they seem to have more devotion for their children. So she wrote an article about this, and she noted that in interviewing so many Bengali mothers, she found that these mothers were ostensibly doing pujas and everything for their children, but because they had children to do pujas for, just the natural motherly activities of caring for those children taught them how to care for God also. Because they found that the care that they gave to their children allowed them to care very affectionately and likewise for their deities. Srila Prabhupada also instructed us, your children are your deities, and at least one devotee I know, one of Prabhupada's disciples, was likewise instructed, your deities you should treat like your children. So, these are the seven mothers. We can say a lot about them. Srila Prabhupada does mention one last thing about Dharati. Every morning, conscientious persons who try to fulfill their daily obligations called Nitya Kriyas, when they rise from bed in the morning, they touch the earth and they say, Samudravasane Devi Parvatastana Mandale Vishnu Patninamastubhyam Parasparshakshamasvame. Just as the earth is more humble than a blade of grass, we should also cultivate this humility. And my dear earth, you're tolerating everything, you're holding up everything, you're the wife of Lord Vishnu, all the mountains are like your breasts, and I offer you my respectful obeisances, and please, forgive me for putting my foot upon you. This is Krishna consciousness. So these are some of the things, that particular verse, I believe it's from Hari Bhakti Vilas, in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila, chapter 1, text 35, suggests that Gaudiya Vaishnavas follow the Hari Bhakti Vilas. In other places, Srila Prabhupada gives various other references, in particular in Canto 4, chapter 18, text 2 through 5, he mentions several authorities in a very general way. Parashar Muni, Vyasdev. Bhagavad Gita chapter 16, text number 7 is very specific in Prabhupada's purport there, that Manu is the, he explicitly endorses Manu. And for that matter, so does the Taittiriya Upanishad, or rather the Taittiriya Brahmana, Shruti Mantra. It says, Yad vai kinchana manur avadat tad bhesajam. Whatever Manu has said is certainly something that can cure the ills of the world. That's from that's something that Baladevi Dabhushan Thakur reminds us of in his commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So this is important, and but of all these mothers and all these responsibilities that these mothers perform, they all culminate in one supreme mother, and who is that? Radharani. Again, we have an audience of devotees here. Yashoda, yeah, because Radharani is, after all, young, right? But Mother Yashoda is, Rupa Goswami himself offers his obeisances to Mother Yashoda. This is interesting because in his Padyavali, it's, I believe, text number 129, he himself has composed a verse for this anthology. Padyavali is an anthology. Rupa Goswami, for the most part, is quoting from other authors across various regions and throughout ages. He's selected many verses that he sees as very suitable for Krishna consciousness. For Nanda Maharaj, he has taken a pranam mantra, a verse that was quoted by Raghupati Upadhyaya, a verse that Raghupati Upadhyaya offered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if you recall, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to visit Vallabhacharya. Before he even rose from offering those obeisances, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, tell us something about Krishna. And that's what Raghupati Upadhyaya said. He said, some people worship Mahabharata, some people are very strictly following the Smritis, other people are afraid of material existence, but as far as I'm concerned, I worship Nanda Maharaj because in his courtyard the Supreme Absolute Brahman is crawling. Now for Yashoda, Rupa Goswami didn't quote anyone. He composed his own verse. And what does he say? Anga gapanga jana bham, navya ghana bham, vichitra ruchi sachayam, virachita jagat pramodam, muhur yashodam namasyami. That means that I repeatedly bow to Mother Yashoda, in whose lap goes the Supreme Lord who has a lotus-like navel, Pankajanabha, whose color is like a fresh rain cloud, and whose dress is a vibrant hue, and who brought about bliss for the entire universe. Who is he glorifying here? Yashoda. Listen to this again. I repeatedly bowed to Yashoda, in whose lap goes the Lord with a lotus-like navel, whose color is like a fresh rain cloud, whose dress is a vibrant hue, and who brought about universal bliss. There are different descriptions given of Mother Yashoda, and this one is a little bit striking because it's quite clear from the commentaries also that Rupa Goswami is saying that Mother Yashoda has which color, what complexion? What color is Mother Yashoda's complexion? Louder. I'm hearing different answers. That's because different answers exist. Some people say Mother Yashoda has a very fair complexion. Here Rupa Goswami, in his own verse, he's saying that Mother Yashoda has a bluish complexion. We know these songs in Braj that, you know, wait a minute, Nanda Maharaj is fair and Balaram is also fair, so what happened to you? Krishna, why are you so dark? They're teasing like that. But here we have an answer. Anyway, so there's a commentary on that verse from Virachandra Goswami, who wrote the commentary sometime in the early 19th century. And he writes that in this section entitled Yashoda Vandanam, Rupa Goswami intends that she, by the strength of whose pure devotion, bound even the Lord who frees the entire universe from bondage. To her, we repeatedly offer our obeisances. In fact, that Yashoda is universally worshipable. Rupa Goswami venerates Yashoda with his own composition of literary beauty, Rupa Sahityena. And in this verse, he says again and again, I offer obeisances. How is it so? The words, Ankaga Pankaja Nabham, indicate Sri Krishna, who has a lotus navel, and he goes to her lap, Krodha or Anka. Thus he is Ankaga. Her complexion is just like that of Navya Ghana, a fresh rain cloud, Navya Megha. Abha means her hue or kanti. The words vichitraruchihi mean brightness, that's referring to her dress, and which is sichayam. And the word virachitam indicates that she is the one who manifested, prakatita, that person who is the bliss for the whole universe. Jagataha pramodo yayatam. Srila Prabhupada, anybody here know Govinda Dasi, my god sister, Prabhupada's former secretary? Many, I think, many old timers here. So yeah, I'm sure she has many friends here also. That she told me that Prabhupada told her that she should wear the yellow color, because that's the color that Mother Yashoda wears. You know, if you know Govinda, you may understand. So anyway, this is Rupa Goswami about Mother Yashoda. Brief description. There are other descriptions as well. For example, in Bhaktirasamrit Sindhu, third ocean, that's the western ocean, and fourth chapter, text number 12 or 13, depending, he writes also, very nice verse, he says, Doli jutita vakrakesha patala sindura bindulasat. Simantad dutiranga bhushana vithim nati prabhutam srita govindasin visrishta nishrishta sashranayana dvanva narendivara shyama shyama ruchir vichitra sachaya gosteshwari patuvaha. He's offering a benediction to all of us, a benediction that Mother Yashoda may bless us all. He says, Prabhupada translates this in Nectar of Devotion, let me be given protection by Mother Yashoda, whose curly hairs are bound with thread, whose hair is very brightly beautified by the vermilion placed in her part, and whose bodily frame derides all of her ornaments. Her eyes are always engaged in seeing the face of Krishna, and thus they are always filled with tears. Her complexion, which resembles the bluish lotus flower, is enhanced in beauty by her dressing herself with many colorful garments. Let her merciful glance fall upon us, so that we may be protected from the clutches of Maya and smoothly progress in our devotional service. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. This is the second reference from Rupa Goswami, who is our main acharya after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in which he describes Mother Yashoda's complexion as being blue. Interesting thing to note. So, Srila Jiva Goswami, in his commentary on this verse, adds a few things. He says, that this description of Yashoda's complexion corresponds to a reference in Kramadipika, and there it's also stated that one should worship the tips of the toes, lotus petal toes of Vasudeva, Devaki, Nanda, and Yashoda. Then he quotes, two fathers, light yellow in complexion, have their hands on in the Jnana and Abhayamudra positions. The two mothers are decorated with shining garlands and saffron unguent. When I first went to South India for the Padayatra around 1985, I was in coastal Andhra Pradesh, in villages, because we were walking from village to village. This is Lokanath Swami's Padayatra. And I used to see all the women in that district, they all had their hair on one side like this. You've seen this? Maybe not in Telangana. And they were all yellow color because they were putting this same kind of unguent that Mother Yashoda described that she puts on. So, they hold vessels of blessed payasam, milk, sweet rice, in their hands. Devaki is pink in complexion, and Yashoda is blackish. They're decorated with necklaces and jewel earrings. What's stated in the Gautamiya Tantra, however, should also be considered. This is Jiva Goswami commenting. He says, aside from this are situated Vasudeva, Yashoda, and Devaki. Vasudeva is golden in complexion, showing the Vara and Abhaya mudras. Devaki is beautiful with dark complexion, shining with ornaments. Yashoda is golden in complexion, wearing two pieces of white cloth. Is this a problem? You see the contradiction? So that's what I say. There's different descriptions, and, you know, Krishna consciousness is full of contradictions. The famous story is that I think it was Gurudas and Yamuna were having this. You've heard this. Some, or maybe it was Mother Disha. Some two god siblings were arguing that Krishna and Balaram are the same, absolutely no difference whatsoever. And Prabhupada said, yes, he's right. But then the other party said, well, but Balaram cannot enjoy Radharani because Krishna is the exclusive enjoyer of Radharani. And Prabhupada said, yes, she's right. And then they brought it to Tamal Krishna Goswami. Tamal Krishna Goswami couldn't answer it. He brought it to Prabhupada. He said, but Prabhupada, they can't both be right. And Prabhupada said, yes, you are right. So Prabhupada, what do we do? And Prabhupada said, you decide. I'm going to leave it at that. But we have these different descriptions of Mother Yashoda's complexions. But whatever her complexion, we should worship her, we should pray to her in the way that Rupa Goswami has given us this verse. That's why it's there. So, Goshteshwari Patuvaha. May this queen of the cowherds, Yashoda, Mother Yashoda, may she protect all of us. So, anything else we have here? Yeah, one sub-commentator, Mukunda, says this is, she's blue like a lotus flower because she's described as having the beautiful blue hue of a blue lotus. All right, so in this way we have different ideas from different acharyas. So, in Srila Prabhupada's Nectar Devotion, this is again chapter 43, but it's actually the fourth chapter of the third way, or the third sea, you can say. Western Ocean. He says about parenthood in general, when ecstatic love develops into the relationship of parenthood and becomes steadily established, the relationship is called vatsalya, vatsalya. Those who speak Hindi, they know. How do you call children in Hindi? Bacha. And bacha is just a Hindi for what in Sanskrit? Vatsa. And vatsa means what in Sanskrit? A baby cow. So the whole idea, back to the idea of the cow being one of our mothers, the whole idea of motherly affection actually comes from watching cows. That's why we need to live with cows, or at least visit cows daily. In Vrindavan and many places in the world, there are people, pious people, who won't even eat before they feed their mother cow. Would you eat before feeding your mother? Not likely. So this is another thing to consider. But the exhibition of this vatsalya rasa, a standard of devotional service, can be found in the dealings of Krishna with his devotees, who represent them themselves as superior personalities like father, mother, and teacher, guru. And guru means any kind of superior. Learned scholars have described the impetuses for parental love for Krishna existing in these elderly personalities who are in relationship with him as follows. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose bodily complexion is just like a bluish, new-grown lotus flower, and whose body is very delicate, and whose lotus eyes are surrounded by scattered hair as black as bees, was walking on the streets of Vrindavan when Mother Yashoda, the beloved wife of Nanda Maharaj, saw him. Immediately the milk began to flow from her breasts, soaking her body. Some specific provocations for parental love of Krishna are listed as his blackish bodily hue, and which is very attractive and pleasing to see, and his all-auspicious bodily features, his mildness, his sweet words, his simplicity, his shyness, his humility, and his constant readiness to offer respect to the elderly, and his charity. Krishna does this. He respects his elders, as we can see. Even when he grows up, he remains respectful to his elders. And we find references like this in, I think it's Canto 1, Chapter 11, text number 28, if I'm not mistaken, from Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes how the Lord in Dwarka was bowing down to the motherly persons. And in that purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that these mothers, they included all of the wives of Vasudeva. How many wives did Vasudeva have? 18, Prabhupada says. And Krishna bowed to them all. He treated them all the same as Devaki. And Prabhupada, interestingly, because we have so many stepmothers in modern society, isn't it? Prabhupada said stepmothers are also good to be respected as mothers. So in that purport, it's a very interesting purport. So, now, some devotees have an idea that the Lord is the mother, Lord himself is mother. Do we know where this comes from? Where does it say this in Bhagavad Gita? Okay, that's okay. Where is it in Bhagavad Gita? Pitaham Jagato Mata Dhata Pitam, chapter 9, text number 17. Krishna says, so one devotee prays like this, very beautiful prayer. Listen, he says, Aham Kuromi Twam Apakuromi Bahuni Papani Sadaiva Vishno Balo Vapuhu Pankila Yatya Jasram Punaha Puna Kshalayatas Chamata. Just, he says, I'm constantly committing multiple sins, O my dear Lord Vishnu, and yet you rectify them. As child repeatedly muddies himself, but the mother again and again cleanses him. This is love. And Prabhupada used to teach us more than once, many times Prabhupada taught us that the highest ideal of love that exists in this world is a mother's love, absolutely selfless. Another one of these Bengali mothers I mentioned earlier, she said, we think that love in this world is never entirely selfless. And that's also confirmed by Krishna consciousness philosophy. But she said, that's until you become a mother. Then you know. Then you know real selfless love. One of my god brothers, he's no more in this world, he sent me an anecdote about, in California they have forest fires. So there was one redwood forest that was burnt down. And the firefighters were there cleaning things up. And they found this charred stump of an old redwood tree that had a big hole in the middle. And nestled within that hole was the dead, crusty, charred body of a California condor. And underneath that dead, crusty body were so many little chicks that the mother would die trying to protect. So this is why we worship mothers. This is why we have the highest respect for mothers. And we've said that so many mothers in this world and also in Vrindavan, Rupa Goswami therefore prays, Me Bhurya Nugraha Chitena Chetasa Lalanod Kama Bhita Kripakulam Gaudavena Guruna Jagat Guror Gaudavaha Ganam Aganyam Ashraye. Let me take shelter of the elderly parental devotees of Lord Krishna, so many mothers. We see that Krishna bowed down even to 16 of them in Dwarka. They're always anxious to serve Krishna and maintain him, and they're always so kind to him. Let us offer respectful obeisances unto them for being so kind to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who himself is the parent of the entire universe. This is again from Rupa Goswami in his Padyavali. So, there's a very beautiful verse that Rupa Goswami also gives in his Bhakti Dasamrita Sindhu, describing the activities of Nanda and Yashoda. When Krishna had only three or four teeth coming out of his gums, his body was very, very short, and he began to enhance the parental love of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda with the activities of his childish body. He was sometimes stepping with his legs again and again, sometimes crying, sometimes smiling, sometimes sucking his thumb, and sometimes lying flat. And these are some of the different activities of the child Krishna. When Krishna was sometimes lying down flat, sometimes sucking the toes of his feet, sometimes throwing his legs upward, sometimes crying, and sometimes smiling. Mother Yashoda, seeing her son in such pastimes, did not show any sign of restricting him, but rather began to watch her child with eagerness, enjoying these childhood pastimes. I'm going to share a few more. He says, Nichulita giridhatu spita patra valika, Nikheta Surabhirenun Kshalayad Pir Yashoda Kucha Kalasham of Uktaihi Sneha Madhvika Madhyei Stavanamama Bishekam Duktapurehi Kuroti. That means, my dear Krishna, when you are engaged in herding the animals, the dust caused by the hooves of the calves and cows covers your nice face and artistic tilak, and you appear very dusty. But when you return home, the milk flowing out of the breasts of your mother washes your face of its dust covering, and you appear to be purified by this milk, just as when the deity is washed during the performance of the Abhisheka ceremony. This is actually, it sounds like mythological, or it sounds like something that would never happen. Anyone here of the elders, was anyone in Caracas in 1975 when Srila Prabhupada visited? Yeah, you may know them. Srila Prabhupada saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was so amazed to see that Krishna consciousness was spreading all over the world, even in faraway places like Caracas, Venezuela. As Shruta Kirti described it to me, that Srila Prabhupada, just tears were shooting out from his eyes and wetting people that were several feet away from him. That doesn't happen in this world. But that is the power of pure devotional service. And Prabhupada exhibited this. Otherwise, we would never believe it. As far as I know, that's the only reason that Prabhupada might do that, because otherwise he else tried to restrain. But anyway, so Mother Yashoda was doing like this also. The milk from her breast just flowed and bathed Krishna as if from the Abhishek. And this is Rupa Goswami's description. Another one says, Tushariti Tushana Lopyuparitasya Badhastitir Bhavantam avalokateyadi mukunda goshteshwari. Sudambhudirabhisputam vikatakalakutatyalam sthitayadi natatrate vadanapadmamudvikshyate. My dear Mukunda, if Mother Yashoda, the queen of Gokula, is forced to stand on fire, but is allowed to see your lotus face, then this fire will appear to be like the Himalaya mountains, full of ice. In the same way, if she is allowed to stay in the ocean of nectar, but is not allowed to see the lotus face of your grace, then even this ocean of nectar will appear to her like an ocean of arsenic. Let the anxiety of Mother Yashoda of Vraja, always expecting to see the lotus face of Krishna, be glorified all over the universe. And finally, Navanayostanayorapiyukmataha paripadadbhirasaupayasam jharehi ahavallabharajikriheshwari svatanayam pranayadabhishinchati. How wonderful it is that Yashoda, the wife of King Nanda, out of her parental affection for Krishna, mixed her tears and the milk from her breasts and thus bathed your dear son Krishna. There's another nice description of Yashoda in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which you've probably heard, but Prabhupada advises us to meditate on it. Kshomam vasa pradukati tade bibhrati sutranatham putra sneha snutakacha yogam jatakam pam shisudruhu rajvakarsha shrama bhujararat chalat kankana kundalecha swinnam vaktram kabala vigaran malati nirmamantha. It means, dressed in saffron yellow sari, with a belt tied about her full hips, Mother Yashoda pulled on the churning rope, laboring considerably, her bangles and earrings moving and vibrating, and her whole body shaking. Because of her intense love for her child, her breasts were wet with milk, and her face, with its very beautiful eyebrows, was wet with perspiration, and malati flowers were falling from her hair. This is from the 10th canto. So, also in that same 10th canto, we hear, Nemam virinchina bhavo na shrirapyanga sangshriya prasadam lebhire gopi yattat prapivamuktidat. That even Brahma, nor Shiva, nor even the goddess of fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Lord such mercy as was delivered to Mother Yashoda. So this is the great glory of Mother Yashoda. There are many, many more verses we could recite. I would love to do so. I think the time is running out, but maybe I should stop there for now and ask if anyone has any questions or any comments on anything we've heard so more. Yes, where I can. Okay, Hare Krishna. Mata.
I was wondering if you could just recite that verse again about the cow milk, that your words becoming the cow milk.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he says, my dear Lord Gopal, only if you accept my words as your cows, may they become sweet and provide milk for your pure devotees. It's a beautiful prayer. I also recite it for that reason. We try to speak anything about Krishna.
Somebody's asking for a reference, please.
That is from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's 10th canto commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam towards the end. I think it's like at the very end somewhere. I don't have an exact number. But numbers don't really matter so much because in my experience all the manuscripts have no numbers or different numbers. So you can look there. Yes.
Nice class, Prabhu.
Thank you.
10th canto, 13th chapter, Prabhupada writes, if one is attracted to this parental mood, should meditate on Srimati Mother Yashoda. And Prabhupada explains about her saffron sarees.
Yes.
And then I found Viraragavacharya also commented, because saffron represents complete renunciation.
Okay.
She never does anything for herself. 100% for Krishna's pleasure.
Yeah.
That's why her favorite sari is saffron.
Jai Viraghavacharja. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. I have a question.
Yes.
Here.
Okay.
My question is regarding the love of mother for his child. The obvious answer to my question, which I'm going to ask, is probably yes, but I still want to hear from you. Is that love for of mother for his child or her child, does it remain same when he grows or she grows up and they have their own children?
Are you asking if the mother's love for the child changes as the child gets older?
Yes.
Well, I'm not a mother yet. But my mother told me one day when she was angry with me, "You haven't changed since you were 4 years old." Does that help to answer your question? I mean, you know, well, Rupa Goswami also tells us that in Padyavali, that even when Krishna was 120 something years old at the battle of Kurukshetra, Madhya Yashoda, and when the other Vrijavasis came there, she just disregarded the presence of so many soldiers and, you know, state political leaders and rishis and, you know, respectable gentlemen and, you know, all these elephants, horses, cavalrymen. She just neglected all of them. She went right up to Krishna's chariot, sat down, and put Krishna on her lap to suck her milk. This is in Padyavali. So, you know, the mother's love cannot really be that. Nothing will phase that. It is the most ahaituki apratihata love that exists in this world, as we've said. Let me give you just one more example, because it's so sweet that I can't resist it. Mother Yashoda Prabhupada writes in so many places, she was always anxious. Don't think that you're going to be free of anxiety when you take to Krishna consciousness, because Mother Yashoda is in constant anxiety. That is her bliss. And that's the part we can't fathom yet. But maybe someday we can, if we hear with faith. So she was always worried, is he going to stub his toe? Maybe the boys are teasing him. What if a big bull comes? Or maybe he didn't get enough to eat? Or so many things she was worried about when Krishna went out, especially during his Paugandha Lila, during the daytime. And so she's praying and everything for him, but still, you know, she can't quell this anxiety. She went to Durvasa Muni to get advice. Durvasa Muni told her, you go to Chintaharan Mahadev in Gokulap. How many people know this temple? Chintaharan Mahadev? Yeah, some people have gone there. Chintaharan means the Mahadev who removes your anxieties. So Mother Yashoda went there. She was worshipping him very faithfully, but it still wasn't working, because, you know, it was beyond Lord Shiva's jurisdiction, her anxiety. She doesn't know that. We know that. She didn't know that. So sometimes she used to go out and she would just look for her son, just to see, is he okay? Does he need anything? What can I do? She would go around looking for him. Bilba Mangala describes this. Kandu krida vigala de ganaswe da mugdhanana shri kaischit drishta kuvalaya dala shyamala kobi bala prachati evam pati pati yayao vyakulananda patni tire tire tapanato hituhu krishnam anveshayanti. It means she's asking everyone she saw on the bank of the Yamuna. She's wandering up and down the bank of the Yamuna. Anybody she encounters, she'll say, have you seen this boy? He's dark blue like a lotus flower. And that blue is made even more beautiful because he has little beads of sweat coming from playing ball with his friends. I'm looking for him. Have you seen him anywhere? And this is her mood. So one time, Dina Bandhu, there's another one, Rupa Goswami says that she knows that he's out there somewhere, maybe he's chasing lost calves in the marsh. That's what Krishna does with his time. Natasya kaaryam karanam cha vidyate. He has nothing to do. So he spends his time chasing little baby cows in the swamp. No alligators in Goloka. So he's playing on the bank of the Yamuna.
He's bowing at the feet of cowherd ladies. Bilvamangala Thakur says, recollecting this, I bow to him. But Mother Yashoda was so anxious. One time, I just learned this recently, as a matter of fact, Dina Bandhu Prabhu told me. He took me to a place called Chamelivan. Anybody been to Chamelivan in Vrindavan? Chamelivan. Seems there were many jasmine flowers growing there. So in this place, it's very, very remote place. You cannot find anyone living there. Even today, nobody lives there. And it's very deep forest and just not, it's very, very secluded place. This is exactly the reason that Krishna chose that location to meet with the young girls in Vrindavan. Nobody will find them. So Mother Yashoda, she's anxiety about Krishna all day long. She's wandering around Vraj looking for him. Suddenly she comes into this place and she enters a deep forest, and in a clearing in that forest she sees all these hundreds of young girls, and in the midst of them is her son, it would seem. So she thought, Krishna, is that you? Krishna took off like anything, gone. And the girls all scattered, they don't want to be seen either. So Mother Yashoda tried to follow where she thought Krishna went, if it was Krishna. She went to a kunda, there was a lake there, and nobody's there, nobody's around, because Krishna had dove into the water under the lake. Underneath the water, Krishna had, by his mystic Shakti, he assumed the form of Hanuman. And then he came out of the water as Hanuman. And Mother Yashoda was coming out in complete anxiety, looking for her son Krishna. When we lose things, we always pray to Hanuman, right? So she's coming out and asking, it took her a minute, one would imagine, that she, Hanuman? Hare Krishna. Namaste. She started offering pujas and prayers, and have you seen my son Krishna? I thought I just saw him here, but then in her mind she's thinking, wait a minute, Hanuman, he's also Brahmachari, could not have been him. So anyway, this is Krishna's Leela. And since that play, since that time that Krishna performed this pastime, anyway, so Hanuman answered, Mata blessings. He said, deep fake Hanuman. Krishna in the form of Hanuman is offering blessings to his mother. He says, you know, you'll find him. Everything's fine. You go home now and then he'll be there. No problem. We'll take care of it. So ever since that time, this temple is there, a Sitaram temple, and there the Hanuman is also there, but he's not really Hanuman. He's actually Krishna in disguise. That place is called Anjani Kund now. Anjani Kund. If they're really people who know a lot, they can take you there. So the Krishna is doing this kind of thing every day. Krishna is performing these pastimes, but it keeps his mother in anxiety. But that anxiety, like Kunti's anxiety, it actually gives the greatest bliss. And this is the part that we don't have faith in. So Krishna consciousness, this whole process that we're undergoing, it's meant to teach us that the fire that burns us now, fire means tapa, penance, it is actually bliss. And gradually by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then we can realize and enter into Krishna's Leela. And we may find ourselves in a similar position, that we're interacting with Krishna. Yashoda had such power that she could bind the Supreme Lord. Bilvamangala Thakur further describes Yashoda's power when he says, Yad Roma Randra Paripurte Vedhava Daksha Varaha Janmami Babhurami Samudraha Tannama Nathamara Vinda Drasham Yashoda Pani Dvayantara Jalehi Snapayam Babhuva. It means, although in his Varaha incarnation, many oceans could not even fill a single pore of the Varaha avatar. A single pore in one of the Lord's hair follicles. Mother Yashoda bathes that same lotus-eyed Lord with only the water that would fit in her two joined palms. This is the power of Mother Yashoda's love. So we can also develop that love by the grace of these devotees, Vraja devotees especially. This is Rupa Goswami's essence of all advice. Rupa Goswami says, Tishtan vrajetat anuragi jananugami. We should live in Vrindavan or a place that is non-different from Vrindavan, like this temple. 11th canto tells us anywhere Krishna lives, that is Nirgunam. It's Vaikuntha. Goloka also. So we can cultivate Krishna consciousness and develop similar love. We cannot become the Lord's parents. This is an important thing. But we can develop similar love, and we already know. We've given examples already. Krishna, he respects his parents. He accepts all of them as equal, his real mother and father, and anyone who shares in their mood. So this is what we have to look forward to in Krishna consciousness, and it's all just coming by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, because Srila Prabhupada is the topmost of all the Vrajavasis. Tishtan Vrajetan Anuragi Jananugami. He's the topmost Anuragi that lives in Vrindavan forever. And we worship the Lord according to his instructions, seated always at his lotus feet, and pray for some benediction. Just a drop of his mercy is enough to immerse us in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the ocean of Bhakti Rasa. Okay, anything else? If not, then I'm... Okay. Kishori Priya.
So you talked about both Devaki and Vasudev, yes, as well as Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj.
Yes.
So which of these two are the eternal parents of Krishna?
All of them. They're all eternal parents. Krishna eternally has different forms. His devotees also have different forms. The same person is Krishna Sutapa, the same person is Kashyap Aditi, the same person is Vasudev Devaki, the same person is Yashodananda. Same. So they're all the above. There's no distinction. Is that okay?
Thank you, Prabhupada.
But of these, just as the Lord's different forms display different degrees of his potency, so in the same way, these different forms of his devotees, they display different degrees of that love. So Nanda, Yashoda is number one, even more than Nanda. You can bookmark this, mothers. Mother's love is stronger. Then is Nanda, then is Devaki, again the feminine first, and then Vasudeva and so many others, Kunti and so many other mothers are there. Okay, you want to add something?
I remember Sripad Ramapad Swami, many years back, he gave a class here, and he says, Nanda, Yashoda, Drona, Dara, they are permanent position and personality. But yes, as far as Sutava, Prishnagarbha, these are position.
Okay. Yeah, I have no comment. I mean,
that's what he read the commentary, not his own opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I can assume he has some pramana, but I got in trouble for that the other day.
Oh, he's very astute in it. Without pramana, he will not say it.
Yeah.
He's very good at it.
Okay, yeah. Anyway, whether there's some kind of, you know, expansion or vibhuti or whatever you want to call it, they're the same. They're the same. Prabhupada does say that. All right, so then maybe we should stop here. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Mukunda Datta Prabhu ki jai. Srila Prabhupada.